emphasize the point that God's the one doing the work in our lives, and it's not us. It's not our efforts, not our, we don't get the thanks for it. All the glory goes to God. That's why I picked that song, "To God Be the Glory." And I'll just read through some of these before we turn to very much here, but Psalm 138:8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." And that's what our pastor, when he was doing that study in the 139th Psalm, he would start out with this and the last verse of Psalm 138. Just the Lord's going to perfect that which concerns me. It's not going to be us that's going to perfect what's going on in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God's the one that's doing it. He's going to perform it. He'll perfect it. And it's not something that we are responsible for, and it's something we couldn't do if we tried. So it has to be Jesus. Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So it's God working in us. It's not what we are doing in our own lives. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." So he's the one that authored our faith. He started it, and he's going to finish it. The Lord's going to finish what he began. He didn't start it and then say, "Okay, now you guys are on your own, see what you can do." He knows we can't do it, and he's going to finish it for us and in us. And it's going to be the life of Christ growing up in us that'll make that happen. Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." God's going to make us perfect. He's going to be the one working in us. And it, as it says here, "To whom be glory," is our song. To God be the glory. He gets the glory for it because he's the one doing it. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So it's him doing it. He's going to sanctify and cleanse us. He's going to present the church to himself glorious, no spot, no wrinkle. Again, nothing we could do to make that happen. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." So the Lord's going to make us increase, and he's the one that's going to establish our hearts in unblameable. It's not that we have these something we did and we said, "Yeah, I did it. I was unblameable." No, we are not worthy, and the Lord is the one that makes us unblameable and establishes us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it." We're not the faithful ones. The Lord's the faithful one, and he's going to do it. 1 Peter 5:10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Again, the Lord, he knows that what it takes for us to be perfected, and it's the sufferings that come to our lives that make us perfect. We wouldn't choose the sufferings. The Lord brings them to us, and that's what perfects us and establishes us and strengthens us and settles us. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, the Lord saved us. That's in Titus 3:5. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're his workmanship. We're not taking things upon ourselves to do anything. Like the clay needs the potter to make something out of it. The clay can't do anything of itself. And so we just, the Lord's the one doing it. We're his workmanship. So Romans 4:16 says there, for it is of faith that it might be by grace. And so what are we, a definition we use often for grace? Unmerited favor, right? That's something that's real common definition. So what are these people that are trying to accomplish something by works? Are they saying it's merited favor? They merited it somehow? Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So some that are doing works, they feel like God owes it to them to give him something. But when we know it's by grace, we say God doesn't owe us anything. He just loves us and favors us. And we don't deserve it, but we know he loves to give to us. Romans 11:6 says that it's if it's by grace, then it's not by works. And if it's by works, it's not by grace. You can't mix the two. You can't have works and grace. It's one or the other. And now here, if we want to turn to Matthew 17, starting in verse 1, this is where, we'll just read this, the transfiguration. Matthew 17:1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So Peter and many others would think that Jesus is great, but we should also honor ones like Moses and Elijah. And, you know, like he said here, build a tabernacle to him. But God the Father stopped that right away. He said, no, you hear my Son. He's the one that you listen to. These others were just men just like you. Jesus is the one that's special. So the Father also says in Colossians 1:18 that Jesus is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, the first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And then in Revelation 4, when in the throne room there, 4:9, when the beast, the 4 living creatures, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So there it is, thou art worthy. Jesus, you're the one that's worthy. And it's these ones that think that they're accomplishing something through their works, what do they think? Like after we've praised Jesus, that there's going to be someone get up and say, okay, now let's give special recognition to those that, for their outstanding achievements that got here. Not at all. That's not going to happen. just like Paul. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all, but not I, the grace of God that was with me. It's the grace of God. It's not going to be anyone that's going to get the glory in heaven but Jesus. Isaiah 2 talks about the day of the Lord. It says, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that's proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. So the Lord's going to be exalted. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, not man. And then and one thing that we always want to remember, that Jesus told us, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. It has to be him. So the thing that I wouldn't want to have to get in heaven and think that the Lord has to, I have to be recognized by someone for what I achieved. What I would like to have, and I'm looking forward to having recognition, is Jesus saying, behold, I will make them know that I have loved thee. That's what I want to hear. Just that everyone knows that Jesus loved me special. So to God be the glory. I hope this has been an encouragement to you this morning.